Fears about another terrorist strike on U.S. soil have raised many issues for the government, among them how to keep Congress running if a majority of its members are suddenly killed. Last week, the House of Representatives approved a measure to ensure the continuity of Congress after a terrorist strike on the Capitol. The Republican-sponsored bill requires states to hold special elections within 45 days if more than 100 of the 435 members have been killed. Some Democrats say the bill does not go far enough. They favor a constitutional amendment to settle the problem. They say 45 days is too long to wait. The Constitution should allow replacements to be appointed immediately. In a minute, we'll hear from the Democratic representative who proposed that amendment. But first, joining us now is Congressman David Dreyer, a Republican representative from California who's the chairman of the House Rules Committee, and he joins us by phone from Claremont, California. Congressman Dreyer, good to talk to you again.
Always good to be with you, Neil. Look forward to heading up to the Capitol Rules Committee sometime soon.
I hope as a guest and not as a witness.
Oh, no, listen, we only take our colleagues in the Congress as witnesses, but you and I have been trying to have lunch for a long time, so.
Well, give us the details of last week's bill. It goes into effect
It was actually, the 22nd of April that we passed the legislation, and basically, you know, what we have, Neil, is we have a structure in place which allows for the line of succession for the President of the United States, and as we all know, members of the United States Senate, if a vacancy occurs, are appointed by the governors of those states. And the People's House, the House of Representatives, by design, going back to James Madison's debate that he had in the Federalist Papers, Federalist Number 53, in fact, he focused on the fact that the House of Representatives is to be elected. And so that's the reason that we worked, and with a very, very strong bipartisan level of support, we got 306 votes in support of H.R. 2844, which is called the Continuity and Representation Act. And what it does, Neil, is, as you correctly stated, if more than 100 members of the House of Representatives are killed, it kicks into place a provision which says to states that they, within 45 days, must hold special elections. And we came to that 45-day period, and some people have debated it, by looking at a wide range of other states. I'm sitting in California right now, and as you know, and I think we talked a couple of times then, I was privileged to lead the campaign for Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger and head his transition effort. We, within 55 days, in a state of 35 million people, were able to hold with 125 candidates' names on the ballot an election here. And there are other states that have, in fact, mandated levels that are significantly below the 45 days. For example, in Minnesota, they require special elections to take place within 33 days. New York and Georgia are 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
West Virginia, 30 days. Texas, 36. Ohio, 40. Wyoming, 45. My point is that we believe that if there is a tragedy, and this country is hit, and it's very timely that we had this discussion following the news conference that the Attorney General had. It seems to me that we need to be prepared. And as the American people look at feeding their children, providing a roof over their head, clothing them, choosing their leaders is a very important part of that. And I think it would be a real mistake, Neil, for us to subvert that notion of James Madison's. And really, during our nation's most serious crisis, which was the Civil War, when troops were actually coming on the Capitol, Abraham Lincoln proceeded with elections then rather than dealing with selecting leaders in some other way.
What would happen to Congress during that 45-day window? What if the president wants somebody to declare war or something like that?
Well, obviously, what would happen is, you say that 45-day window. I mean, if say, 120 members of the House of Representatives are killed, obviously the House of Representatives can still function. Also, I believe that we've clearly seen from conflicts from the Second World War forward that the president does have the authority to move ahead and deal with a crisis situation. That power really is vested within the executive branch. And remember, there still is a United States Senate, and those seats would be filled by appointment by governors. It's just that I'm very, very troubled with this notion of amending the Constitution to subvert that goal that was stated, and that they had a vigorous debate on it at the founding. And I just think that the notion of in any way getting away from elections is troubling. Madison in Federalist Number 53 said, where elections end, tyranny begins. And no matter what anyone else would say, if you have even temporary appointments, if I were to choose my successor by submitting his name to the governor of this state to appoint if a vacancy were to be created. Taking action like that, I really do believe, subverts the intention of the framers of the Constitution.
If it came to a vote, would you support the constitutional amendment?
Absolutely not. No, I, in fact, part of the negotiations on this, remember, it would really subvert the will of the House, because we have had 300, by a vote of 306 to 97 on the 22nd of April, passed with, again, bipartisan support, the legislation which calls for federal preemption in the wake of a tragedy that calls for these elections to take place. And, you know, I'm a classical conservative when it comes to the Constitution. I mean, I'm opposed to constitutional amendments that don't expand the rights of the American people. I mean, I'm opposed to a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution. I'm one of the few Republicans who's voted against the flag-burning amendment to the Constitution. I oppose the gay marriage amendment to the Constitution. And similarly, I oppose this amendment to the Constitution. One of the great things, Neil, as you know very well, I'm here in California. Our Constitution is, it seems, like a mile high. You and I can put in our pocket the Constitution of the United States of America, and that's a very unusual and unique thing about our country, and I just don't want us to take steps that, in fact, could make a change in that.
Congressman Dreyer, thanks very much.
Always good to be with you, Neil. Look forward to seeing you soon.
David Dreyer, Republican representative from California, the chairman of the House Rules Committee, and he joined us by phone from Claremont, California. And with us now on the phone is Democratic Representative Brian Baird, who did propose the constitutional amendment to ensure congressional continuity. He's with us from Longview, Washington. Nice of you to be with us.
It's a pleasure, Neil.
You voted against the bill. Why?
Well, the problem with the bill is really twofold. First of all, the fundamental question is what you ask Congressman Dreyer. Who will run this country during that 45-day period? And I should emphasize that period could be as long as 75 days. Madison not only focused on the importance of elections, he also said the concentration of all power in a single branch of government is the very definition of tyranny. If you have no House of Representatives, then all the first article of the Constitution provisions, declaration of war, appropriation of funds, etc., are basically going to be given over to an executive branch. And we really have to understand something. The most likely scenario is not that it's an elected president or vice president. Most likely they would be killed in the attack as well. Instead, what you would probably have is a cabinet member who most Americans probably don't know and no one ever elected, running the country with a shadow government, taking over all the powers of the Constitution to that executive branch. And I just don't think that makes good sense. That issue, who will run the country, is so fundamental to our government, and the principles of checks and balances and separation of powers would be completely left open for an extended period of time at a terrible time in our nation's history.
Well, you and Congressman Dreyer are describing different levels of catastrophe. Obviously, you try to plan for everything at this point. Maybe that plane that crashed in Pennsylvania was on its way to the Capitol. No one really knows. But the question being, though, depending on what happens, is a constitutional amendment for appointments. Congressman Dreyer is right. I mean, the whole origins of the House of Representatives, there should be elections every 2 years. It should be responsive to the will of the people. Election seems to be at the heart of the House.
You're absolutely right, and I agree with that. But Mr. Dreyer is being disingenuous. The bill I have proposed would say they are only temporary appointments. Now, this notion that we are somehow subverting elections is a straw man. The constitutional amendment I've proposed, and others have offered alternatives, says that you would nominate temporary successors who would serve only until special elections can be held. But you would not, as Mr. Dreyer's bill does, take away the rights of independent voters to select candidates. Under the Dreyer bill that passed a few weeks back, the major parties would be responsible for selecting your candidates. So you wouldn't have time to hold a primary. You wouldn't get to select your candidate in a primary. The parties would choose for you who would be your candidates. Under my bill, the person you elected would nominate a successor who would temporarily serve only until a fair and full special election could be held. And you have to ask yourself this. In the day, let's suppose you folks in the media announced to the American people that a nuclear weapon has been detonated in the Capitol. It's killed all the government officials present at the time, plus tens of thousands of civilians and government workers. The American people need to know what happens next to their government. Under the proposal I've put forward, members would have nominated potential successors. Those people would immediately fill the slots. And who would those people be? most likely they would be distinguished people who had already served in Congress or in the state legislature or other government capacity. And the American people could say, you know what? Our system of separate powers and checks and balances is up and running again. And it's important to know it's not just the American people. It's the entire world. We would have the deliberative bodies of the House and the Senate checking the powers of the executive. Contrast that with the media saying, well, we're going to have to search around and see what cabinet member is surviving. If a cabinet member is surviving, they're going to somehow run the government with no checks and balances from the House or Senate. The Senate can act, but Mr. Dreyer is also not correct in suggesting the Senate can check the president without concurrence from the House. Mm-hmm. The Constitution doesn't provide for that. So there's a real difference here. And my belief is providing assurance, providing continuity is precisely what we need so we can have real elections. To have elections with no House functioning at a time of crisis is going to be a desperately difficult time to hold real and fair elections.
This is Representative Brian Baird. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get a caller on the line. Robert is with us from Ithaca, New York.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon, Robert.
Well, the Great Spirit willing, we never have to see the results of this conversation. But my question is, you know, with a constitutional amendment or the election process, we kind of wind up in a double bind because either way, the avenue to tyranny does wind up open because in the election example, when the passions of the American people are high, I mean, if we've just lost hundreds of legislators, it might be easy to convince the American people to vote for people that we would not necessarily want in office when we're thinking clearly, as well as with the appointments. We may wind up with people who are appointed who we may not want appointed if we're thinking clearly.
Well, Robert, that's a great point.
It's a bit of a sticky wicket.
It's an excellent point. What I would emphasize is that the appointments that would be made would of necessity be made before the catastrophe happens. So in other words, once I get elected and I've been chosen by the representatives of my district to take very profound decisions, and I take that seriously. We vote in the Congress, as you know, to declare war, to appropriate funds, etc. One of my responsibilities, and it would be one of my most profound responsibilities, was in a time of sober reflection to pick people who would carry our country through a crisis. And in my own district, in our region, on both sides of the aisle, there are distinguished statesmen and stateswomen who would do just that. And that's precisely the point I'm making. In a calm, cool, deliberative time, pick people who would carry our country well through the crisis so that thoughtful elections could be performed, because you point a very sound risk out to expedited elections during a crisis. I think your point's well taken.
Robert, thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Neil.
Let's go now with Pat, and Pat's with us from Binghamton, New York.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
Pretty good. I was just wondering, the people that you're saying you wanted to appoint, would they have the benefit of, I don't know the term, but there's a benefit of an incumbent has of using taxpayer dollars
Would they be allowed to run for election?
Well, I think it's best that they be allowed to. Going back to the framers again, the framers felt that one of the checks on your conduct is a chance to stand for election. On top
right.
of that, I think right. many of these people might be very well suited to the job. I think also, though, you'd have to say a lot of the folks who I would have in mind, and I think many of my colleagues would because they're former statesmen, would say, look, my job is to serve in this brief period till we can have special elections. Once I've served the country, I will step out. But I think it'd be unnecessary and unwise to say, well, you can't serve during this time period. I would also say, you know, the opponents of appointments will say, on the one hand, elections are sacrosanct, which we all agree, but then they'll say, if we appoint anybody, the public doesn't have the good sense and judgment to unelect someone who hasn't done a good job. That's a little inconsistent. I think we'd appoint good people. If the public approves of that appointment and the person chooses to run, they could reelect them. But in the interim, at least you've got some voice from your district to speak on your behalf as profound decisions are made.
Representative Baird, thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Neil, I'd just say I talked to a Rotary Club today, and they all favored, or a Kiwanis Club, they all said we need some temporary appointments. And interestingly enough, their succession plan with a president-elect and a vice president was superior to the succession plan of the United States Congress as it exists today.
Congressman Baird, a Democrat from Washington State. In Washington, D.C., I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.